Our first reading takes place in the frantic run up to Christmas. It was in fact the run up to a wedding between Mary and Joseph. But long before their big day, Joseph hears news that will turn his world around. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave them the name Jesus.
Our second reading picks up Matthew's story. Baby Jesus has been born, and so the world has come to celebrate. Only not everyone is taken with the news. Only one person can be king at any one time. After our reading, we'll have our next carol, recently voted one of the nation's favourite, "O Holy Night." Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, beginning at verse 1. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Here ends the reading.
Our next carol goes back a further 700 years. An ancient prophecy foretold that a virgin would give birth to a baby. Who could this person be? I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 11 to 14. "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test.' Then Isaiah said, 'Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to add my own welcome to, my name's John, I'm one of the pastors here at the church. And so I just thank you so much for joining us for our first weekend of our carol services. We're so glad that you could join us for a portion of your Christmas season. So thank you and happy Christmas to you. And now what I want to do is just take a few moments to talk to you about how we can make the most of Christmas this year. How we can make the most of Christmas more than just a day in December. I mean, it's true, isn't it? That when it comes to the whole month of December, we're just focused on one day. Just one day. And the question that seems to dominate our thinking throughout the entire month is the question that we ask each other, which is, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? And it's not a bad question to ask, but I think there's two types of people in this world that could answer that question. You've got people who would say, you know what, just give me something I need. And then there's others of us who would say, no way, just give me something I want. So I wonder which type of person that best describes you. So hands up, okay? So how many would you say, I'm the type of person who says at Christmas, just give me something I need. Who would that be? Marvelous, okay. How about those of you who would say, no way, just give me something I want. Amazing, okay. Now, you can put your hands up. Now, there's some of you who didn't put your hands up to either. And so I'm just going to assume that you're the type of person that says, I just want both. So you're the high-maintenance ones in the family, aren't you? You're the nightmares to buy for. But there's two responses are really different, aren't they? And they determine how we view and accept our gifts. And so this evening, I've just brought some gifts with me, just to test you to see if they fall into the category of want or need. And so let's have a look at what I've got in my Santa's bag. So, now the first one I got is something that I get off my mum every year. And so we got that. Those thick socks. Are they a want or are they a need? It's a need, isn't it? That's right, yeah. No one ever asks for socks, do they? No one ever says, I'd love some socks for Christmas. And yet we all get them every year, don't we? Okay, what else I got? Okay, yeah. I got Star Wars Lego. Is that a want or a need? It's a need. Of course it's a need. You know, my kids would absolutely love this. Okay, let me see. Let's see what else I got here. Okay. Okay, a nose trimmer. Is that a want or a need? Now, I know some of you, and you need this. You really do. When you get over 40, it's an essential thing. Not just for your nose, but for your ears and your eyebrows. My eyebrows are wild at the moment. I don't know what's happening. Okay, here's the last one. One which is a, you know, really traditional Christmas, which is perfume and aftershave. Is that a want or a need? It's really hard, isn't it? It could fit into both, especially if you've never asked for perfume. Maybe someone is telling you you need this there. It's sort of, it's a present similar to the one I got off my mother-in-law, where one year she got me a diet book. I mean, what do you say at Christmas when someone gives you a diet book? I did try and read it. It just made me more hungry, so it's counterproductive, really. But let's just go back to the question we started with. What do you want for Christmas? As it's a question that dominates our thinking through December as we think about the perfect gift. And one of the challenges of the major supermarket campaigns like John Lewis and M&S and Lidl's and Tesco's is to get us to embrace that sort of Christmassy feeling without diminishing the facts that we live in the real world. It's really hard for them. I think Lidl's and Tesco's have sort of hit it better this year. But it's hard for them to deliver it because we're conscious of the real world needs more than just escapism. And I guess you can come along to a Christmas carol service like this one and sing songs together, read about some old events in the past, have some mulled punch and mince pies as we escape from the real world just for a moment. But knowing that in the back of our minds, that we're going to have to engage with the real world again at some point. And I want to propose to you this evening that there is something of substance to the Christmas message, which means that we can, it gives us both that wonderful Christmassy feeling that we all long for, but also has the capacity to engage in the real facts of the real world. And in our last song, the chorus went, I'm not going to sing it, but it mentioned tidings of comfort and joy. And I just want to sort of suggest that the two names given by the angel of Jesus in the first reading that Johnny read to us can provide us with both comfort and joy this year. And my hope is that you'll see that this gift provided for the first ever Christmas is the gift that we both need and want this Christmas. And so please, there's these accounts of Matthew dotted about. Please pick them up. We're going to be looking into page, let's have a look, 2 and 3. And I'm just going to look at the two names given for the baby. Now, if you've had a baby born in your family, you will know that the nightmare that it is to come up with a name. Because what you call your baby really matters. Now, in my cousin's school, she did actually teach two children called Comfort and Febreze. So that's an exception to the rule. But God has put a lot of thought into the names that the baby's going to be called. And one of the names the angel gives the baby is Emmanuel. And so our first point this evening of the two is Emmanuel, the gift we want, the comfort of God with us. And so let me pick up the conversation in Matthew chapter 1 and sentence or verse 23, where the angel says to Joseph, have a look with me if you can. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, centuries before, the Jewish people knew the promise of God coming to be with them from the early prophets. But the people didn't really think it meant God coming to them sort of literally. They believed in the promise of God coming was the prediction of a great leader or who, figuratively speaking, God would be working through and be present with his people. But the angel here is saying that this promise is greater than anyone could ever imagine. It wasn't going to come true figuratively, but come true literally. And what we find from this verse is the extraordinary news that this baby isn't any ordinary baby, but he's in fact God with us. You see, Jesus wasn't just a prophet to come and tell us how to find God, but he was God come to find us. And every other religion differs from Christianity here, because all other religions are founded on a sage or a teacher or a prophet who came to tell us how to find God. But Christianity says no. Our founder, Jesus Christ, is God come to find you. And this is what Christmas is all about. Here's a bleak and stark statement of our culture of secularism in which we now live. A human being, it says, is a being unknown to the point of birth and unknown to the point of death. There's no God, there's no future, there's no help, there's no hope, there's no right, there's no wrong, there's no good, there's no evil, there's no judgment, and there's no justice. But here in Matthew's account, carefully documented by the eyewitnesses and long expected over thousands of years, we have Emmanuel, God with us. And that changes absolutely everything. It changes everything. The utterly outrageous but wonderful truth of God coming to be with us, making himself known to us, revealing to us a fuller and deeper revelation of himself through Jesus, by entering into this world and identifying with us. And by becoming one of us, he can relate to us. He can connect with us emotionally, intellectually, experientially. And this is particularly important if we're going to get to know him, relate to him, and trust him. And sadly, as Dave just mentioned earlier, it can be quite painful and dark time for a Christmas for some people, can't it? The loss of a loved one, or a diagnosis which is uncertain, or the loss of a job, or a friendship that's gone sour, or maybe you're battling with mental health, with anxiety or depression, and maybe life just isn't turning out the way that you thought it would be. And you find yourself in a Christmas carol service, singing songs about joy to the world and peace on earth, and it's easier for us to just sit there and think that this message is for someone else, and it can't be for me, because it's for someone else who hasn't gone through the experiences that I have been going through or are going through. And if this describes you, and what you're going through, then firstly, I'm so sorry that this is your experience. I'd love to chat to you after service if you would want to. You see, Christmas for me this year is going to be a little bit different too. Because as my dad passed away 2 months ago, Dad I love to bits. And it's going to be a strange time for us around Christmas, because there's going to be an empty chair around the Christmas table this year. But you know, during painful times like that, we may find the people sort of around us express sympathy. And that's lovely, and it helps to a certain extent. But you can still feel pretty lonely, can't you? You can feel that actually no one really understands what you're going through. But when we meet someone who has gone through exactly the same thing that we have, then we feel like we can pour our hearts out to them, can't we? We feel like they can really empathize with us. And we feel that when they speak, that we can listen to their advice because they've gone through the same thing that we're going through. And when they comfort us, we feel really comforted. Well, Christmas tells me that God became human. He became vulnerable. He was born into poverty, into shame. And in his life, like me, he lost his earthly dad, Joseph. He was betrayed by his closest friend. He suffered. He knew darkness. He experienced death. And you may say, but John, you don't understand. I've prayed to God and he's ignored my prayers. I feel like God has abandoned me. Well, can I just say, Jesus has experienced those things too. He experienced unanswered prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane and was abandoned by God on the cross. And so whatever we might be experiencing in this life, then God knows, because he became one of us. He plunged himself into our humanity. Christianity says that God has been all the places you have been. He has been in the darkness that you may be in now. And so you can trust him. You can rely on him because he knows and has the power to comfort, to strengthen, and to bring you through it. And so this gift offered to us on Christmas morning, this gift of baby Jesus, is God offering himself to us. And actually, I think this is a gift we all want, isn't it? Someone who understands us. Someone who can relate to us. Someone who wants to get into the mess with us and help us and support us and guide us, and who has infinite power to comfort us as well. Well, the band are going to play a song that they've written themselves for us this evening to further help us to understand this theme and these two things, comfort and joy. And so I'm just going to hand over to them so they can sing. Oh, thanks so much, guys. It's a great song, isn't it? A song of comfort and great joy. And so this evening we've looked at the name Emmanuel and found that it's about a comfort in God. And so this may be the gift that we want this Christmas. But secondly and finally, I want us to just look briefly at the other name the angel gave Joseph in this text, and which is Jesus, the gift we need so we can experience the joy of God saving us. Let me read sentence verse 21. Why don't you follow me on page 2? That'll be great. Jesus, that is Mary, will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. I wonder if you took your forefinger and placed it over the last two words in that verse, what would you place at the end of that sentence? What we think we would need saving from? Because we could finish this sentence off in a number of different ways, depending on what our global view of the world would be. She will give birth to a son, and you have to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from poverty, from hunger, from war, from global warming, from terrorism, from racism. What would you write? Well, God has put a lot of thought behind the names of this baby as he reflects the hopes and the aspiration for this child. And he's named him Jesus because Jesus means Savior, and Jesus has come to save us from our sins. Now, I don't know what you think about that. Perhaps you think God is missing the point, or he's just out of touch with reality. But you see, the Bible tells us that God isn't missing the point, but he's actually making a point. Because sin is the disease that all other things, the symptoms flow out from it. And so we actually find ourselves in the doctor's surgery as we listen into that conversation. And the prognosis is Jesus has not come to save us from the symptoms, but from the root cause of all that has gone wrong in our lives and in this world. And in today's world, sin has just been devalued just to mean a bit of grown-up naughtiness, not really serious. It's just a bit of indulgent fun. But you see, you and I won't come to grips with or by understanding why Jesus came unless we understand and confess, hey, that maybe we're not as good as we think we are. That sadly there's a gap between the real and the ideal. There's a gap between the real self and the Instagram self. And although in our culture where it's impossible to define what's right, what's wrong, and a culture is really poor at forgiveness, actually it's impossible sometimes to receive. But despite what the culture says, in the quieter moments of our lives, regrets, maybe shame, and mess come flooding into our minds and hearts, no? We still have a voice inside us, a sense of condemnation that we just can't shake off. And there'll be some of us here tonight who are acutely aware of these feelings, and they feel terrible about it because it just burns on their conscience. And although we just try to sort of bury it, it just keeps coming back to the forefront of our minds. And you know, if we go to religion for help, it comes up to us and it just judges us and says the way to get right with God, if there is a God, is doing religious or good things. But if that's true, then there's no hope for us. Because even if we lived the rest of our lives doing nothing wrong, it would either be impossible for us to outdo the bad things that we've done in our lives. But maybe I'm just talking about my own heart and life here. Or we would never have any assurance that we were good enough. Religion tells us all about what we can do, and it just condemns us. It can't deal with our guilt. But Jesus has come and says, I can forgive you completely. I know you did. I understand the cost. I can take that sense of condemnation away. And this is the reason Jesus came for all our mess in our lives. Because the things that we've done and said and thought not only affect the relationships with people around us or relationship with ourselves, it ultimately affects our relationship with God. And Jesus on the cross takes the punishment we all deserve for the wrong that we've done. All the things that we would be so ashamed to have aired here as we sat here tonight. And he pays for them all in his death. So that if we believe what he has done that for us, that we can stand before God blameless and forgiven. And if we really think about it, if we could save ourselves, then Jesus coming and dying is absolutely pointless. It means nothing. But if we realize we can't save ourselves, no matter how decent we think we are, then Jesus coming and his death will mean everything to us. And do you know what? Because he got himself through death, he can get me through death too, if I believe. And what that means is that at Christmas, as I miss my dad, I'm in the story. And the end of my story is a day of reunion. As I know, I'll see my dad again. And what joy that will be. Christians celebrate Christmas because it is the start of the great rescue operation. Jesus has come. It is good news that will cause great joy for all people because he has come to save us. It's the greatest gift anyone could ever offer us on Christmas Day morning. In fact, any day of the year. But how will we respond? How will you respond? Well, if you're a Christian here this evening, then in this chapter we have a wonderful example of a faithfulness to the response of Joseph to the angel. As he shows us what it looks like to accept Jesus into our lives. And we see that you'll need courage to give up control of our lives. The courage maybe to deny ourselves. The courage to take maybe the contempt of the world. And the courage to trust God even in the uncertainties and difficulties in life. And if you're not a believer in Jesus, or you wouldn't call yourself a Christian this evening, then you'll need the courage and humility to admit, do you know what? I need Jesus' rescue to receive this life. But how will you get strength to be courageous like this? Well, by looking at Jesus. Because if you think it takes courage to be with him, then consider the fact that it took infinitely more courage for him to be with you. But how did he have that courage to do that? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus was able to endure the sufferings of the cross because of the joy set before him. And that joy that enabled him to bear the cross wasn't the glorious crown of heaven, because he already had that before he came. The thing that gave joy to Jesus was the idea of being with you forever. Cue the Mariah Carey music. All he wanted for Christmas was you. And so how will we be moved to live for him? How will we give our lives to him? Well, the same way, seeing him doing all that he did for you by losing his life to bring us life. In losing all joy to give us eternal joy. And it's that that will draw him out to us and our love and our joy to him. And if we truly understand the eternal implications of this gift offered to us, then we will understand that Christmas can be more than just a day in December. Jesus is better than any Christmas present we could ever want or need this Christmas. This Christmas, we started our time together with a question, which is a question that dominates our minds in December. What do you want for Christmas? We had some people say, just give me something I need. Others said, no way, forget that, I want something I want. And then we had those high maintenance people, didn't we, around us, wanting the both. Well, can I just say, God's gift to you this Christmas covers both. It's a gift that we want and it's a gift that we need. And so this message of Christmas is literally for everyone in this room here tonight. But what will you do? Will you receive it? Will you consider it? Or will you reject it? We do hope you will receive it. And as you do so, that this Christmas truly will be the best Christmas ever. Well, thank you so much for listening so nicely to me.